Oh, hello there.
We've started yet?
We've started, yes, yes.
Very good. We have noodles.
Mmm.
There's this new food truck sort of alley in town here.
Mmm.
And there's some ocean stuff.
Singapore noodles.
Yeah, Singapore noodles. We've got some dumplings.
Mm-hmm.
Which are pretty cool. I just had one, they're good.
No, I haven't tried one with dumplings yet. Mm. So, and welcome to the super fun, awesome, happy done pedal shop podcast.
Lunchtime edition.
Lunchtime edition, yet again.
Da-da-da. Yeah.
So how you doing, Alex?
Good, hungry.
Hmm. Food's good. I like food.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool, like, kind of a bit of a scene happening here now. Like, there's food truck things and more music events going on. Some cool place to get coffee.
All the homeless guys were shot.
Yeah, just moved on. To kombucha. So, we've just been doing some videos today. This very morning.
Yes.
For Mojo Stomp Boxes.
Yeah. Hello, Tim, if you're listening.
Tim's really good with knowing things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah. He's really into those. Retro vintage now vintage.
Yes.
80s Japanese stuff, like all the Boss things and Maxon stuff and
Ibanez. Itone and Ibanez, yeah.
So.
Which I think a lot of it came out of the same factory.
Yeah, probably different stickers, yeah.
I think Maxon and Ibanez is the same thing pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I think Itone and Ibanez was sort of similar too. Anyway. If you want to find out more about all Japanese pedals, check out Mojo Stompbox's website.
Yeah.
Because he's got a massive collection and massive knowledge when it comes to all that sort of stuff. So what did we do for him this last batch?
This morning we did a bass chorus.
Oh, yeah, Boss CE2B.
Mm. I remember someone selling that whole series on eBay a while ago. I should have got him.
All bass series?
That was a... I think there's like a compressor limiter and maybe a flanger. That whole like crappy brand color series. They're like $75 each. I should have got them.
Tim probably bought them.
Yeah, it's probably that one.
Mm. Yeah, it sounded pretty cool though.
Mm.
And we did a thing which we hadn't done before, where we actually plugged a guitar through the... So you've got a bass preamp, mm-hmm. valve preamp, Trace Elliott bass preamp in your studio, yeah?
Yeah, it's kind of late 90s thing.
And we actually plugged a guitar through it and it sounded really good.
Yeah. We did this another time for one of the very first podcasts that's about to be uploaded.
Mm.
We went to another friend's studio who has some space echoes.
Mm.
In stereo, two separate Space Echoes.
Roland Space Echoes, yeah.
We went straight into a really good preamp, just straight in. It sounded great. But it was a super, really great preamp from Joe Malone, JLM Audio. That's it.
Joe Malone.
Mm.
Good old Joe. Wonder what he's up to now.
So we should experiment more with DI guitar.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it used to be done a lot, didn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the whole miking up an amp thing didn't come till a fair bit later.
Mm.
So I think a lot of the Beatles stuff, and especially like a lot of the overdriven Beatles stuff,
yep.
System cranking the input gain on the
I think it's actually
console.
Some of that distorted DI guitars actually stacking two preamps into each other to get enough boost to distort the... guitar signal enough, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
You heard it here. Probably not first, but...
Third or fourth.
You've heard it here as well. So what's new in the world of gear with you, Alex?
Lately I've been... Just for... More as a challenge, really. Just to try and find cool, really cheap pedals.
Okay.
Like on Gumtree or eBay or wherever.
Gumtree for all your foreigners. If you foreign devils. No, for all you non-Australians, it's like a...
trading post or...
Well, we used to have a thing called the Trading Post, which was a newspaper where you would advertise things you wanted to sell. Newspaper, that's something... It's like paper, which is that stuff...
In the toilet.
In the toilet. For the youngins. Well, no, it used to be a newspaper and you used to advertise things you wanted to sell, and they had trading posts sort of for your local area in sometimes, you know. Yeah. And gum trees, I don't know if you even get that overseas too, gum tree, but gum trees are...
I think it might be international now.
Is it? It's like an online, I guess like Craigslist or all those things in America where you just kind of locally advertise your stuff.
It's not really eBay because it's not an auction, but it's just advertising things you want to sell.
Things for sale, yeah.
So I've got a, it's called a Vibratrim, I think it is.
Oh, yeah, the Marshall Vibratrim. One. Yeah.
Got that for $30 this week. Haven't even had a chance to plug it in.
And you bought some of that Dan Electro stuff, was it, as well?
The Daddy-O and the, what's the distortion one? The red one. Fab Tone?
Fab Tone, maybe, yeah.
Fab something.
That could be.
Have to look. And the delay I've had for a little while.
That was broken.
Turned out it's just a dry solder joint.
Well, there you go.
And that's kind of what I've been doing.
Nice.
I realize, yeah, it's kind of fun, like trying to get some cool, interesting, quirky pedals for a few bucks.
I should actually say, so what else did we do for Mojo Tone?
We
did the bass chorus, we did the Boss FET.
FET driver?
FET driver, which sounded really good, surprisingly. Actually sounded really, really good.
Comes with a belt clip, so that's belt, good.
Which, that's the best part of it all.
Oh, yeah.
Which I believe the Edge is known to have used. And it does sound really good.
Yeah, it's one of those really high headroom boosts for pushing your amp well into distortion.
Yeah.
Which we did. And, it's definitely that sound. Kind of power amp breakup thing. Yeah.
What else did we do? We did the... what was the third one we did today? Is it Guy Tone?
That was hours ago.
Digital chorus, yeah. Someone's phone is ringing. It was the Maxon digital chorus.
Yes, it was.
That was interesting too. All that old Maxon stuff. We've done a couple of pedals now for Tim for Mojo Stomp. Which are that series Maxon. And they're all relatively quirky.
I think they're... mouthful of noodles. I think the coolest one was that modulated delay.
Yeah, which did the... So it kind of automatically moved the time up and down. So you kind of got that kind of like Chase Bliss stuff does.
Ramping, yeah.
What else did we do? There was a whole bunch. There was that Boss multi-effects unit. We're bad with names, and we shouldn't even say the names because Tim's going to get upset with us. I mean, all the numbers and stuff, bad at remembering it.
You know, the Boss multi-effects unit. The Boss.
That one. What was it, BE5 or something like
that? One of like the first.
One of the, with all.
Four or five effects in one.
Their actual pedals in it. Not, you know, like a lot of multi-effects units that do sort of skimmed down versions of it.
Yeah. So, the other thing we've done is a new podcast besides this one.
Yes.
Which, I should stop eating while I'm talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Friend Chris Palmer, who's based in Brisbane, in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Bit of a gun player. And I didn't realise how educated he was and deep in the rabbit hole when it comes to gear.
Mega educated. Like, I felt really stupid. And I'm quite a nerd, but I felt very stupid next to him.
Like, he knows all the variations of all the Memory Man things, and the chips do this, and the chips and dip, or whatever it is. And then, yeah, you don't want this Memory Man because it does this, and this other one has this between March and April of 84, and blah, blah, blah.
But, awesome player. And what a good board. Like, seriously good pedal board. If you get a chance, listen to that podcast, and which is, I think, the podcast before this one. So this most likely will be episode 8, and that was episode 7. And we've done a quick video as well of him just noodling around and showing some stuff. I mean, about as high-end as it gets of a board, and some seriously good sounds.
Mm.
And not just that, but going through a really nice old Marshall amp.
Yeah, that's great.
And played by a guy who really plays guitar well. You know, so it's... All the ticks were ticked.
Yeah. Like, effects are only going to affect your playing, what you play into it.
Mm. So you're playing into it is crap. They're still going to sound like crap.
Yeah.
But very tasty player and good dude. Thanks for having us, Chris, by the way, if you're listening to this.
What about yourself? Any new stuff
that
you haven't told me about?
Not that I haven't told you about, no. Well, that the people don't know you about yet. I did an unboxing video of the Goo.
Oh, yeah.
Which was about a year in the making almost, I think. So, should stop eating too. So, the Goo is a pedal by a company called Tone Concepts.
Yep.
Now, Tone Concepts, the only reason I ever really got to find out about Tone Concepts is because I'm a massive fan of a guy called Nels Klein, guitar player called Nels Klein. And he sort of semi-started working with them a few years ago when they released a pedal called The Distillery.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually is right here. That knocking, that's me knocking The Distillery.
Don't knock it, man.
Which is basically a clean boost. Yeah. That also has a gain stage in front of it, so you can get it a little bit dirty. And it has a really full-on active parametric EQ.
Yeah.
So it's, I think what they call it is a tone-shaping pedal. And I think they've worked a bit with Nels Klein. So I know Nels Klein uses it, but I know also now there's Steve Lukather. That was his first ever signature pedal.
Mm-hmm.
There's a version of it which is called the Luke. Distillery the Luke.
Right.
Which was his first ever, I think, signature pedal, which is that pedal but tweaked ever so slightly to his likings.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's one of those always-on pedals he has now. You know, and if a guy like Steve Lukather uses it, I mean...
He's kind of up there with the best of the best.
He's one of those legends of the legends kind of guys. So, yeah. But anyway, so I found out about them and then... I bought this one, I think I went down to Melbourne to a fantastic shop, if you're ever around here, Deluxe Guitars. I mean, those guys have just about everything you can imagine in terms of pedals and gear. And I tried it out and I really liked it. I thought it sounded really good and I bought it. Anyway, so that's how I found out about Tone Concepts. Now, last year, probably sometime, early last year, these sort of little teaser videos came out of Nels Klein saying... You know, the goo, you know, and holding up that pedal. And anyway, so I'm a massive Nels Klein fan. It was his first sort of signature pedal for him as well. And he said he wanted to make a pedal that's a distortion for a change, because pretty much most other drives on the market now, overdrive is sort of the trendy thing at the moment. So he wanted to make a distortion pedal, I believe, a la Marshall Governor. Which is a pedal I quite like. I like that sort of Marshall sound, pedal sound. So I went, they're going to make 250 of them to see how it goes. Is it like a pre-order? So I went, I'm just going to put my name down. Why not? And it wasn't that expensive either. So, and then there was delays in getting the paint job done. And then Nels did some changes to it because he toured with it with Wilco and stuff like that. Anyway, so it took about a year and it finally came and I got it. And I really like it.
Oh, good.
But it is very long story short. It is very reminiscent of the King of Tone in sound.
Oh, really?
Okay. The high gain side of the King of Tone. Cool. Maybe a little bit more definition, like you strum a chord even with high gain and you've got more note definition.
That's cool.
It does have an internal switch, which I haven't switched yet for a different mode, but I got it last week, did pretty much almost the day I got it. I used it for a gig, and I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be a video of it coming soon. So that was one of the new things.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't realize. Yeah. It was like that. Cool.
So that's a pretty cool pedal. You have to sort of charge it because it's just that, you know, like glow-in-the-dark stickers and stuff.
Yeah.
But the knobs say, each knob has a letter on it. One's G-O-O, so goo. And if you charge it and the light goes off, the knobs glow. It says goo.
That's awesome.
And then when we went to see our friend Chris Palmer.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. If anyone is in a Facebook pedal selling group, which there's lots of people in there right now. He just did a major pedal purge, as he called it.
Yeah.
And sold like 40 or 50 pedals. And all pretty high-end stuff, good quality stuff. And so I ended up buying a JHS Superbolt and a Qtron, Electromonics Qtron Plus of him.
Yeah, cool.
And they're great. Both really, really good. I've got to say, JHS, again, my opinion of them has really changed. And everything of theirs so far that I've plugged in, I thought was great.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
Yeah, Superbolt's great. I remember we went, Alex and I went a few years ago now. Yeah, a few years ago.
Yeah.
We went to a launch of an online shop called Signal Chain, which, by the way, everyone should check out. I think it's signalchain.com.au, which is sort of an online boutique shop. Roger, the guy, runs it. Awesome dude. Make sure to check that out. Anyway, he launched his basically online shop in Brisbane. And Brett Kingman, who's sort of one of the gods of YouTube pedal demos, came up and did some live demos.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I just remember the Superbolt was new then.
Yeah.
And I remember, to me, it was one of the sort of standout pedals. And I've always kind of had it in the back of my head, I wouldn't mind getting a Superbolt. And then Chris was selling it, and I thought, why not? And I really like it.
Yeah, cool.
It's sort of that, it's meant to be a Supro amp in a box, but it does have that combo amp cranked sound. But really nice note definition as well. Really, you know, you strum a chord relative high gain if you crank it, but you hear all the notes really well. It's really nice for chords.
Yeah, cool. Because we talked about this earlier. I've got a Greer... what's it called?
Ghetto Stomp.
Ghetto Stomp. I'm blank today.
It's too hot.
It's hot here. The Ghetto Stomp's that kind of little Supro or Champ type amp cranked and kind of thing. Now, what... No, yeah. What I kind of like... I like the pedal. It's cool. But if you treat it like a small amp and put a boost in front of it...
Ah.
Clean boost. That's when it comes alive. It really comes and starts to spank and get cool distortion effects after that, yeah.
Hmm.
So you should try that with a Superbolt.
We'll try it. Yeah. We'll do a demo.
Yeah, for sure.
And maybe we'll do a shootout with the Ghetto Stomp too.
And try it with a boost.
And try it with a boost in front.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Sorry, I'm eating pork dumplings.
Yeah.
So you talk while I eat the last pork dumpling.
I don't think... speaking of JHS, I'm also keen to get the hands on the colour box.
Hmm. You want to get the 500 series though, don't you?
Yeah. But I want the pedal one so I can put on a...
Yeah. That was lovely.
So I could put on the a bass pedal board, which I thought would be cool. As like a preamp.
Bass pedal board?
Yes.
Well, I've seen now videos, they put videos out for the 500 series on drums and all different instruments, so why not on bass?
Yeah.
Because that's got a balanced line out, doesn't it? It's got an XLR out.
Yeah. So you could kind of use it as a preamp pedal. Yeah. Just go to a powered speaker or something.
Oh, and you like that now. We did a gig a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it's great.
And Alex was a very last minute fill-in, playing drum, playing drums, playing bass and that. And,
oh, yeah, so...
You only brought your...
I couldn't get into my garage because we lost the keys somewhere in the house. So I couldn't get my bass out, but the bass was in the studio here. So I had a bass. That's a start.
That's a good start. When you're doing like, a bass gig, that's a great start.
I'll do the gig. I'm like, oh, shit, don't have a bass amp.
Bring my mandolin.
Yeah. I've got a bass and a packet of chips. And a but I had a Pouts PA speaker here. So all I did, and a dealer, because we did something in here. So I had a DI, a powered speaker, and a bass.
And it sounded really good.
And yeah. Like, because of the powered speaker has different, like, EQ voicings in the back.
Yeah.
I just flicked through some until I got a good one.
Sounded good. It sounded good to me.
Straight in the DI.
Wow. See, bass players. You don't need amps and stuff. You don't need to be seen or heard. Just felt.
Felt. Like in the car park, kind of.
Well, that's a different story.
It's not that kind of gig.
No. So JHS, we like JHS now.
Yes.
No, well, I mean, JHS to me was always, I think we talked about this before, so you shouldn't talk about this too much, but to me, JHS always seemed like a company, it's just, they're just cloning stuff and selling it for really expensive, you know, because they are not cheap. They're not cheap.
Yeah, they're not.
But I do now, like I said, I've only ever played three pedals.
Sure.
Tons of people are raving about them, but I've personally only ever played three pedals of theirs. We've done demos for the Kilt and a Muffaletta, which I think both are great.
Mm-hmm.
And now this, the Superbolt is really, really good as well. Yeah, I mean, I don't care anymore that they do, if they do just clones, but I'm sure they don't. But I really like them. So kudos, JSS. Kudos.
Excellent.
did I get anything else? Oh, yeah, the Qtron Plus.
You haven't tried that yet.
Yeah, I have.
You have tried
that. I have. Because it needs 24-volt center positive.
Hooray.
Which is great, which is always that...
convenient.
Highly convenient power. But no, I had with one of my power bricks, I could combine two 12-volt outs, and it worked fine. And I had one of those one-spot converters that converts the...
Oh,
actually, it takes the same as a Line 6. It's a smaller size than a standard size 9-volt plug.
Right.
Because it... Those one-spot adapters make one that's just a polarity. Don't down yet, so it's great.
That's what I look for in a pedal. Really,
yes. Don't burn the house.
Lack of house burning.
No.
Yeah.
Did I get anything else new and exciting and interesting and cool and stuff? No.
I got new studio monitors. It's not very good.
Oh, so I'm getting my studio monitors back.
Yeah, you're getting yours back. So that's fun. That was kind of like a major purchase that I've been wanting to do for a while.
So now in the newest videos, if you carefully look in the back,
yes,
my monitors with the white cones are gone.
Yes.
And there's new monitors there.
That's correct.
So a big hello to whoever leaves a comment who spots it first.
Yeah.
Let's see. Out of the 1.2 people that listen to this probably. Write a comment on our YouTube thing. If you do, we'll mention your name next time when we do videos.
Yeah, that's a good test.
Yes, good
test. See if anyone's actually listening to this crap.
It's not crap. It's highly informative.
Pure gold, mate.
Pure gold. Pure gold. So what's coming up in the near future for us, video-wise or podcast-wise? So possibly soon... we'll release our very first podcast we've ever recorded.
Which was that?
With Sparky.
Oh, the was with the
with I think that
Space
was
Space Echoes.
Space Echoes. That was the very first podcast we recorded, and stupidly, I accidentally deleted, because we always try to do a video portion, and we did a quick video with the two Space Echoes, and I stupidly deleted it. He still has the two Space Echo sitting there. So we've been talking about going back there and doing another video, but he lives about an hour and a bit drive from here.
Yeah.
And I just speaking for myself, I'm always flat out lately doing stuff, and I guess Alex is too. So just to get the time to go there and just to shoot a video. So what we might do is we might just put the audio up.
Yeah, we'll do that.
And
then you can see what stereo space echoes plus a full tone tape.
Oh yeah, the full tone tape as well. Delay. He's one of those guys. He builds, and it's really cool. He builds studios in containers.
Shipping containers,
and then you can buy those. And then he builds another one for himself.
Yep.
And he builds them for other people. But yeah, so it's pretty cool. So plus he's one of those guys, if you live in this area of the world, sort of southeast Queensland, he's been around forever and everyone knows him.
Yeah.
He's played with a lot of bands and done a lot of different things. So he's one of those, he's part of the furniture around this area, really. So that should be up possibly next.
I'd say so.
And then I think we were talking about going, this is podcast-wise, then we were talking about going back to Brisbane maybe and catching up with Jack Hudson, who wired Chris's board.
There's a link there.
JH Productions.
So,
here we go.
Oh, yeah, Chris Palmer's board, who we did last podcast, is all being wired up by Jack.
Yeah.
So he does basically pedal board assemblies and wiring type services.
Yeah.
And so check him out, JH Productions, Jack Hudson.
I think it's JH Productions Oz, AUS.
Oz.
I think that's what it is, on Facebook and Instagram.
Yes.
He does some really neat wiring. Yeah. I'm always a bit annoyed when I do my boards, and I really try hard to do the wiring neat.
Yes.
And it never looks anywhere near as neat as his. It always ends up being a mess.
Yeah.
His looks great, and he works with a lot of really high-end stuff. And yeah. So we might be catching up with him. Also, we've been talking for ages, Roger from Signal Chain.
Yes.
But they just had a new baby not long ago. So that could, you know, put a spanner in the works. There's also guys like Chris Stevenson, another local musician. Because, I mean, I think, I don't know if often I've mentioned this, but I'll just mention it again. I always, for me, one of the ideas behind this podcast is to go and see people at work in this industry, like we do, who do this for a living, who have done this for a living for a long, long time. And, you know, it's all well and good to go and look at those. And I love them and I watch them all the time, the Premier Guitar Rig Rundowns, which are great.
Yeah, for sure.
But, I mean, half of the time you see it's either the tech doing the rig rundown,
yeah,
or if the artist does it, half of the time the artist has no idea how his own rig works. He always has to ask the tech to double check how it all works.
Yep.
So the idea behind this podcast is to go and talk to actual real, and I'm doing air quotations here, real life musicians. Not that those guys aren't real life musicians, but guys that do it, and they do it all themselves. They lug their own gear around. They set up their own PA. They do their own sound.
Yeah.
They play in bands. They do solo gigs, duo gigs, whatever they need to do to make a living. And check out what gear they use and what inspires them and all that sort of stuff. So that's sort of one of the ideas behind this podcast.
Yep.
Which we can't do all the time. The other half is talking about the crap we do and, and, you know, what pedals we've reviewed and what we really think of them, because sometimes we can't actually say it on the... in the videos. But anyway, so there's lots of musos around, and that's sort of one of the ideas behind this, is to go and see these musos and check their gear and see how they do it. And, so Chris Stevenson, he's really quite well known around here, a great guitar player, really tasty stuff he has too. He's lots of amps, lots of great guitars. So we might go and see him. Also, hopefully, going to Peter Coppers, guitar player out of the police would be great. No, the church. Not that the church isn't great, but I mean, police is a little bit bigger. But guitar player out of the church, might have a chat to him, and also Aaron Griffin, who's his guitar tech, but also builds great amps. Sleepwalk amps.
Sure,
they're really nice amps that he builds that he's sort of locally. So
yeah, he's kind of keen. He just wants to finish up some amps so he can show them off and show them what they do.
So that's that's all stuff coming up with the podcast. Now,
yes,
here's what I wanted to talk about, because we couldn't really say anything in the video because it was a video that we do for a music shop, and they pay us to do these videos, so we can't really say. Ernie Ball Expression Pedals.
Oh, yeah.
The Expression Series Delay and Drive. What was your opinion, Alex?
Oh, they look good.
Yeah, and that's about where it roughly ends.
It was a very good concept, just not quite executed goodly.
Goodly enough. No, I'm sorry, I really don't get it.
Yeah.
I mean, I love a lot of the Ernie Ball stuff.
Mm.
I think their volume pedals are one of the best volume pedals out there.
Yeah, I've got one.
I sort of kind of have a Music Man guitar possibly in order now, so, you know.
Possibly,
hopefully on order. I think the guitars and basses are fantastic. The strings are great.
Yep.
Not that I use them, but they're great.
Mm-hmm.
I have used them in the past. But I just don't get it.
Yeah. There's just a couple of features they missed and didn't quite hit the mark for us.
So to me, the fact that with the delay, I mean, the idea of having a delay and having an expression pedal permanently attached to the delay, I think is great. Mm. I think it's a great idea, which has a reverb in it as well. Great.
Yeah.
It's gold. Great. Is that the gold one? Is that sort of coppery one?
I don't know.
Either or. I think it's a gold one and the coppery one is the drive. Anyway, I'm probably wrong, but it doesn't matter. But I think they could have just done some very little things different to make it really, really good. But the way it is now, it's not.
I think
the
main one was the tails, the delay tails.
Yeah. If you could, I think if you had in some way a way to select what you want, which parameters you want the expression pedal to do.
Yeah.
That's all it needs. If you could do that, it would be, I reckon, great.
Yeah.
I'd buy it.
Absolutely.
Yet, the way it is now, I'd rather buy a delay pedal that has an expression pedal input.
Yep.
Because then you can actually pick. Because all it does is the actual effect volume.
Yeah.
So it's, if you have it on
like
heel.
The blend, really.
Yeah. If you have it on heel, it's off.
Yep.
If you have it on toe, it's on.
Except when you back it off to the back to the heel position,
all the delays just cut off.
All your tails go away.
Yeah.
So you can't do like swells and let the repeats tail on. Just kind of like the whole idea for the ambient type.
Well, that's what I expected it to do.
Yeah.
Sort of. Or, you know, I expected maybe that you could, it wouldn't just be the effect volume, but maybe it'd be the feedback or maybe the,
sure.
Or maybe you could select a minimum. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yep.
So you could say, okay, well, if I turn the one of the knobs, which is effect volume knob, and you turn it to where you want it to be off and then on is full, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Even something like that.
Yep.
But no, that was... So to me, big disappointment. And they're really well built and look really good.
They're actually machined out of aluminium, weren't they?
Yeah.
So they're...
Solid.
They weren't heavy like a wah pedal, like a... Crybaby or something.
No, but solid.
But still really solid.
Very solid.
Which is great.
And it didn't feel flimsy. It felt quality. And same with the drive. So what was the drive? So it was from no drive to drive or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. But it was kind of just to a basically O-drive sound.
Yeah. Or a boost.
But you still got... You're blending in the overdrive sound, so you still got clean sound as well.
Mm.
That's what it was there. So...
Yeah, it seemed like there was clean,
there's
still clean signal there.
Parallel thing, there's some overdrive as well as your guitar.
Yeah,
sound.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Didn't get them, either of them. Sorry. Sorry if there's people out there that really like them. And sorry, Ernie Ball. Like I said, I like pretty much all your other products.
Yeah.
But that, disappointing.
Yeah. Because going back to the podcast we just did with Chris Palmer.
Yeah.
And he has a delay. Always on, and the expression pedal,
which I'm stealing the idea.
Yeah, me too. On his board here has a delay that's always on, but has an expression pedal hooked up, so it blends in the mix when you want it.
Yeah,
which is great.
Which is really cool, and it was really nice. It was one of the Tap Tempo Memory Men.
Yeah,
one of the old ones with a Panasonic chip.
With any patch, because it runs a looper with like
Loop switcher.
Loop switcher, that's one.
G2 gig rig.
Yes, that's right. That's cool too.
Very cool.
And so any patch...
I still think the boss is better, but
yeah.
It's between us.
So any patch or combination of pedals, you can always blend in some delay.
Yeah.
Which is often...
I think it's great. And then he had also, which is another thing I'm going to steal. Sorry, Chris. But no, I mean, not steal.
Commandeer.
In all honesty, like going back to that podcast, I found it he really inspired me to a certain degree.
Yeah, cool.
To get a bit more creative with my board, because I think I've gotten, I went down from a Pedaltrain Pro to a Pedaltrain 3 just for space saving. And because pretty much all the gigs I do, electric guitar gigs, are cover band gigs.
Yep, sure.
Hopefully there'll be some more original stuff coming soon, but I mean, that's a different story. The cover band gigs, and I've gotten quite lazy and just really... A lot of it is just sort of essential stuff. I mean, on that, it's not essential, not really, but I mean, it's really on my board at the moment. All it is maybe three different drives, a boost, a compressor, a whammy. Well, whammy, that's interesting, I guess, but whammy, a delay, and a H9, Eventide H9, which kind of does some of the quirky stuff.
Yep.
And then really in the quirky world, really, it's the Earthquake Abit Commander.
Hey.
Which I love, and the airplane flanger, mm. Ibanez airplane flanger, which I just use for that dive bomby sound. Boo! Just for shits and giggles. But yeah, I think he really inspired me to, not that he had lots of quirky stuff on there. It was a fairly straightforward sounding board, even though you could get some quirky sounds out of it too. But I think he's really inspired me to go back to my PT Pro.
Yeah.
And put more quirky stuff on it.
Cool.
And make it more interesting and be a bit more adventurous. Because since I had the H9 and all that, I haven't done the expression pedal thing with it. And there's so much stuff you can do with it.
Yeah.
And I think now also what he did, which I'm going to steal probably as well, he had one of those Mission Engineering Expressionator or whatever it's called. Expressionator.
It's an expression pedal breakout box. So basically you put your one expression pedal into it, then you can select like up to three, I think.
Three he could have, yeah.
Different pedals that you want to use.
Because he was saying his is the old one, and he was saying the only downside is you go to the next one, like you have, for example, the volume on the... Because he had the volume, one was the volume for his, or blending in the delay, and the other one was the speed of the chorus.
Yes.
And he said the only thing is if you go from one to the other, it kind of turns the previous one off.
Oh, right.
Okay. You know what I mean? So if you have delay blended in, if gotcha. You go to the next one, it just turns the delay off.
Okay.
But this one now, there's a new one now, I just looked it up. It remembers each setting. So you can go into one and set the expression and then go to the next one and change the expression, but it remembers where the previous one was.
That's very cool.
So I think I'm going to steal that. Or not steal, but it inspired me to maybe hook up the H9 to an expression pedal and do the delay thing with my Chase Bliss Tonal Recall.
Very cool.
So, yes. What were we talking about before that? The Ernie Ball expression pedals.
Yeah.
Which were crap.
Pretty much.
What else did we do? We did the Yamaha Transacoustic, which that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Which is that, for people that don't know, Yamaha just brought out, not long ago, brought out these acoustic guitars. And I think it uses technology they already used with their...
digital pianos.
But digital, but not, you know, those kind of sort of digital, but still with strings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think so. Anyway, with some of the pianos where it's a reverb and a chorus, but it's actually an acoustic reverb and acoustic chorus.
Yeah.
So it's not... You don't actually have to have it plugged into anything.
Mm.
It just uses the acoustic sound. I think it was in their more acoustic pianos.
Okay.
And they put that into an acoustic guitar so you can play the acoustic guitar, not plug it in, yet you get reverb and chorus, which was a bit weird at first doing it. And it's actually a nice guitar. The guitar played, it's a nice acoustic guitar.
Yeah, it's built well.
Whether I'd use that reverb and chorus in it, I don't know, but... Again, quite pricey, I think, for what it is. But
yeah, I think it's might be one of those things. If you love it, you love it, or
if you don't, you know.
It might polarise people's choice.
Yeah. But, I mean, nice guitar all up. I've got to say, Yamaha, I think one of those a little bit underrated guitar companies.
Sure.
Yep. I think especially those latest ones they brought out, that sort of SG-looking ones.
Oh, yeah.
With that usually matte finish.
Yep.
We played a few of them at the music shop we do demos for, and I thought they were quite nice. Okay. You know which ones I mean.
Yeah.
They had like four or five of them.
I haven't played them myself, though.
I think they had a yellow one.
Was it blue one?
And a blue one and a black one, and they were all matte colours.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, and all the acoustic guitars I've played, they're usually good.
Mm.
So, underrated brand, I think, with guitars.
Also, like old stuff, like 70s and 80s stuff.
Yeah.
Always cool.
Always cool.
You got the 335. That's a Yamaha one, isn't
it? No, mine's an Ibanez.
Oh, yeah, Ibanez, sorry.
But, yeah, those are actually highly rated, the old Yamaha. I think they come out as probably out of Fujigen, like all the other stuff in Japan does. But they're very highly rated. I think S... 2000s or something like that? Or is that the...
Well, the SG type thing.
Was that the S2000?
I think Santana played for a while.
Yeah, he played it for a while.
Yeah.
No, they're great guitars, so check him out. What else did we do? How are we going for time?
Oh.
41 minutes.
Sweet. Maybe just... I don't think we've had a chat about NAMM.
Ah, NAMM!
That happened.
Viet or... No.
Yeah, no. No, the country's still there.
No parades, man.
Yeah, once again, we didn't go.
Yeah, well, one day we'll go. But between... it actually is funny because a few people sort of said, if you really want to know what's happening at NAMM, don't go. Just keep an eye on YouTube. But between the Andertons channel, they posted like mad.
They did a lot.
Who was it? Andertons?
They had that pedal show guys on.
They had that pedal show guys, and then they had that Danish Pete.
Yep.
And they did some nice... He's a nice player, actually. Good player, that Danish Pete guy.
Yeah.
There's some nice stuff. Morgan Amps. That's one day.
Yeah, one day.
One day I'm going to get... They look great, too, I think.
It's on the list, eh?
It's on a very long list. But new stuff. What is it called? Pedal Plus? No. Something Plus. That Infinite Sustain pedal. That looks great.
Oh, the Digitech one?
No.
That's a feedback, I'm thinking of.
That's a feedback, which that looks great too. Yeah. I think that's one that I'm going to get. No, there's one, what is it called? The Something Plus, and it looks like a piano sustain pedal.
Oh, yeah, another one, yep.
And you hit it, and it samples like 200 milliseconds or something like that off what you're actually playing.
Yep.
And then infinitely sustains it, so it... Unlike things like the Freeze or the Super Ego by Electro-Harmonix, which kind of sounds like a synth, it sounds really natural. Mm. And then you also have an effects loop.
That's right.
And you can run through the effects loop and it only affects
the sustained
bit, which sounded great. So I think there's a pre-order waiting list that you put your name down for. I think they're not cheap, but I might put my name down for one of them because that looks pretty good.
Mono cases are doing pedal boards.
That's right, yeah, and they look cool too.
Yep, they look pretty solid.
And I'm a big fan of mono case.
Mm, yeah, it's great.
I liked them for guitar cases instead of carrying cases.
And what else? Gretsch have got some new guitars. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I don't think I've seen the Gretsch bits.
Yeah, there's some some of the high-end stuff that people modding over the last 10 years, their models that had been modded, they're now putting all those mods into production guitars. And what else is good?
Just trying to think. Well, all
I don't know if it's new, but Friedman have a Dirty Shirley pedal.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They've got a couple of new pedals coming out.
I'm really keen to check out.
And that whole group, what is it called? Boutique Amplifier Group or whatever they're called, which is like... Because it's
Friedman, Morgan... Diesel? No.
I think possibly maybe made in the same place or they're related in some way. Mm. But who else is it? It's Friedman, Morgan and a couple of other brands that are all made in the same place.
Yeah.
And they're bringing out this thing now. What is it called again? It's like a modular system.
That's right, yeah.
Where you buy these modules, which are just preamp modules of all these amps. So there's Dietzel makes one, like the Friedman ones, and they're usually two channels, I think.
Okay.
Synergy, the Synergy system.
Okay, cool.
I think that's what it's called.
We took this. Now, same thing as the old, like, Randall type stuff.
Yes, and I think from what they were saying, it's you can plug that in. It's the same.
Okay.
I think it's like a Eurorack type slot.
Okay.
The size of it.
Sure.
So I think it's like a universal slot.
Yep.
Correct. I may be wrong, but I don't know. It's something like along those lines. But I know they were talking about, Randall used to make them, and also Ignator made a bunch of these preamps.
Right.
And they all fit. So you can either use them into a power amp of your choice, or they were saying you can, if you have, let's say, a clean Fender amp, you can run that into the loop.
Oh, yeah. Like
and bypass the preamp. Return. So you just go into the return of the effects loop and use it as a second channel, basically.
Oh, cool.
Or second and third channel, because I think they usually have two channels.
Mm.
And they sound great, from what I've heard anyway.
Yeah, cool. What was I going to say now?
More NAMM stuff?
Yes.
Viet or...?
Oh, the Ryan Adams JHS stuff.
Oh, the VCR.
Yeah.
It looks like interesting. It looks like an old VCR sleeve.
It's reverb and chorus.
Volume, chorus, reverb.
Volume boost, yeah.
And I think from one of the things I saw, the volume is what is it called? The Twin 12?
All right.
It's a twin, their clean amp.
Is it that one?
Yeah, I think it's that one.
Okay.
Which is like a Fender style, I think, cranked. I think that's what it is, the Twin 12, isn't that?
I thought the Twin 12 was like a Supro thing. Not Supro, but like a... Silver tone thing.
Maybe Silver tone. Or maybe... I think I watched the thing where they said it was a Twin 12 in it.
Okay.
I
thought that was for the other... One of those other red pedals like that.
Oh, was it for the red pedal?
Signature ones.
Oh, maybe it was for the red pedal. Maybe I got... Oh, yeah, the Calhoun.
Yeah, that's
what it was. Right. It's a fuzz and that.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
We're really up to date with that.
Oh, this is all weeks ago now. Yeah, it's all. We should have done this a couple of weeks ago. Is that what it is? Volume.
Yeah, chorus and reverb.
Chorus, reverb. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Instant The Cure sounds.
Yeah, totally.
Or New Order or any of those.
And Pete Thorne did a Two Notes demo?
The Two Notes demo, that was really good. Because I've been using the Two Notes stuff as well, and I really like it.
Yep.
Actually, now I've been using the... I just got... Celestion just brought out their own IRs, and they're really good.
Cool.
So I've been using a 4x12 closed back with greenbacks in it.
Ooh, nice.
It sounds really nice.
Nice one.
But yeah, Pete Thorne did this demo. It was great because he uses the Two Notes Torpedo Live... Live,
two of them because
he's got the two heads, of course. Because when you're a rock star, you do those sort of stuff.
Yeah,
that sort of stuff. But he was saying he hasn't for over a year or maybe a couple of years, he never mics up his cabs on stage anymore.
Yeah,
so it just goes out of the head into the Two Notes.
Yep,
and then that goes out to front of house, and the cabs on stage are just for him for volume. But then he also said that there's a few tours he did where they didn't want.
Yeah.
Stuff on stage, so didn't even have cabs. So it was just the heads, because you can load them, their load boxes to the Two Note thing. So you can, what do you call it? Hold the load, secure the load.
Hold the load.
But yeah, so and the way he has it running, which is a bit overkill, I think, to a certain degree. But so he has a three channel, his signature PT-100.
Yeah.
Head. It's a three channel head, so it's got a clean channel and a Marshall style crunch channel and a high gain kind of channel.
Yeah.
And he uses different cabinets for each channel because he can switch the cabinets via MIDI. So as the channel switches on the amp,
yep.
the cabinets, which is the virtual cabinets, which is to, so he uses like a, I don't know, I'm just, I can't remember what it was, but like a 2x12.
Open back 2x12 for the first one.
For the clean channel, and then a closed back 2x12 for the crunch channel, and then a 4x12.
No, it was, I think it was 4x12 for the crunch with greenbacks, and then 4x12 with vintage 30s for the high gain.
For the high gain or something like that.
The vintage 30s. I only watched it a couple of days ago.
Oh, okay, yeah, I watched it ages ago.
And went like some vintage 30s for the cut for solo.
Ah.
More presence and high end.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah.
Which
is a pretty cool idea. If you're setting that up, I'm sure it only takes half an hour to set it up and then you've got it forever.
All the MIDI stuff, yeah. I guess it's not that difficult. Yeah, it's
preset things. Yeah.
But that's pretty cool. That's not a bad way of doing it. So And it's instant with MIDI, so that's a pretty cool way of doing it. I like the two note stuff.
Yeah, cool.
I'm really getting happy now with it. It took a little while to kind of get used to it, but
yeah,
I stopped using cabinets. I just have my little Hughes and Kettner head now, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
But possibly at some stage a little Morgan head would be great.
Well, that'd be cool.
Or maybe both.
The little is it Benson?
Oh, the little 5-watt thingy with one knob.
Yeah.
That's maybe. Now the great thing with going straight into your PA is you can crank the volume on your amp, so you drive it. But then you can turn it down in the PA. You just turn the input gain down, and then you just you don't have it. So you can have a cranked sound at any volume you want.
Talk over it.
Well, that's it. I've been using it. I'm starting to really like it. It's starting to get. I'm getting more comfortable with it, and using hearing it through inner monitors and all that stuff. I'm starting to get more comfortable with that whole thing. But I really like it. And at home, if I record stuff, I think it sounds really good.
Cool. Speaking of home, maybe last thing.
Get out.
Please leave mine. Before we wind up.
52 minutes, yeah, we're just about there.
We should mention, you're talking about building a new pedal board for your home studio.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking now that, because I had a couple of other pedal trains.
Yep.
But I sold a few to friends and stuff, and so all I've got left.
I've got three,
yeah. So I've got two of which I use and one I don't. So I've got my Pedal Trend Junior, which is for my acoustic board.
Yep, cool.
Which I use all the time because I do mostly acoustic gigs. And then I have my PT3 for my live board. I used to have a PT Pro, but sometimes room was a little bit of an issue, but I don't care. I don't care. I'm just going to make room for it. So the PT Pro has been just sitting there in its case, looking awesome. And then, since we've visited Chris, I'm kind of thinking, oh, well, and then actually the real reason was I bought that Qtron of Chris, which needs 24 volts. And I looked through all my power supplies, and none of them were 24 volts. But then I remembered I've got two of the Decibel 11 Hotstone Deluxe, I think they're called, which is sort of a more high wattage kind of outputs. And one I'm using for my current board, so I didn't want to take it all apart, but it has, I think, 4 12-volt outputs where you can choose with a switch. Or not, I think it has two holes. It's like one channel. And so you either plug into the 9-volt or the 12-volt. And I have that still connected to the bottom of my Pedal Trend Pro. So I got my Pedal Trend Pro out to plug the Qtron in, because what you do is you get one of those leads where you have two plugs on one end, so you plug it into two 12 volts and like a Y cable, and it comes out 124, and then you need the one spot converter to make it center positive. But I mean, we talked about that already. So I got the pedal board out, and I wanted to take the power supply off, but it was in there so nice and snug, and I thought, but take it out now. It's always a mission getting it back in, and I'll just leave it in there and I'll just run cables. And so now I've got my PT3 with the PT Pro sitting next to it, and I was kind of thinking, I should really do the PT Pro again for my live board. And then I'm thinking, if I do that, because what I usually now do is I go to gigs and I come home and I take my board out that I use at gigs and I put it down and I use it for recording. But I'm thinking, maybe instead of doing that, I've got so many other cool pedals that I never use or rarely use.
Yep.
Why not make a studio board? So, so I think I might be doing that.
Very cool.
So I have one that's just permanently sitting at home.
Yep.
which I guess then you can swap stuff in and out of it as much as I want. But, you know, so it's kind of wired up. It's plugged in. Probably still use a... I still got a loop switcher sitting around, my old... the one control crocodile tail loop. So I might wire all that up and have it as my board at home. And I've got extra whammies floating around, so I do that. I've got so much crap.
So I thought about doing the same thing, but having like a couple of spare loops ready to go. So you got your basic studio set up.
Yep.
Some compression, drives, reverb, delay, modulation, whatever. Then have a couple of loops set up so you can put things in and out according to what you're actually working on at the time.
Yeah. So yeah. Like, well, that's what I'm talking about, if you too. Want
like a flange, a certain flange or a Leslie thing or a fuzz or...
You just plug in and plug it in. Well, that's what I'm talking about. I think the crocodile tail loop has 10 loops.
Cool.
I think. So that's the idea. That's the idea is to leave a few open.
Yep, cool.
And then... but ready to go, basically. Yeah. So the leads are there. You just got to plug in.
Yep.
Empowers there, and yeah. So that's maybe that's something I'll do. Yeah.
Excellent.
I think that could be good fun. But yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm going to do the PT Pro now. The only thing is, there's always lots of cursing involved in rewiring boards and plugging everything in, and
you have small children.
Children come and stand on things and think that it's great. So I think, well, it's something I always do after everyone goes to bed. That's when there's peace and I can do these things. But at home, I mean, my kids go to bed. But yeah, I think I'm going to do that. And I think I'm going to steal that volume pedal. I mean, not volume pedal, expression pedal into that expressionator, whatever it's called, permission control. I think I'm going to get myself one of those.
Okay.
And do the always on delay and expression for the H9.
Very cool.
I think that's going to be rock and roll. Oh, I could even... I could be fancy.
Could you?
Yeah. Because it could have the expression pedal going into the ES8.
Yep.
And then actually can control all the expression stuff via MIDI, which is hooked up already in the H9. So you can assign the expression pedal to do MIDI stuff on the H9. And the MIDI, everything is MIDI controllable on the H9.
Every parameter, yeah.
Every parameter is MIDI controllable. So you don't even have to run another cable into that. I mean, technically, I could run the expression pedal into the ES8, and then there's two expression pedal outs. So one could go to the delay, and one could go to the... Oh, I don't even need to do that.
Hope you're following along at home.
Yeah, because you could... Okay. So the ES8 loop switcher, Boss ES8, right?
Yeah.
Has an expression pedal... It has two expression pedal inputs and two expression pedal outputs. Yes?
Check. Okay.
And what you can do... But what you can do, technically, is only have one expression pedal. And then depending on what bank you're on and what setting you're on, it'll either go to one... Like it'll go out of expression one or out of expression two, so you can switch that. Gotcha. But what I could do is go into the ES8 and then out of the ES8, my expression thing out of the ES8 to the delay.
Mm-hmm.
But then not use an expression pedal, but you just use MIDI, which it's already hooked up via MIDI. The H9 is already hooked up via MIDI.
Yep.
I could use the MIDI side of it.
Mm.
To control the expression on the H9. So I don't necessarily even need the expressionator.
So all you need is one extra TRS cable?
Yes. To go from the ES8 to the...
And an expression pedal.
Well, two expression pedal cables, yeah. One to go from the expression pedal to the ES8, and one from the ES8 to that. Might try that, just to be fancy. And then I don't necessarily need the switch box. The only thing is then you have to do it. You have to say, no, the switch box is going to be easier because you have to. Otherwise, you have to save it differently in each patch.
Sure.
Because otherwise it'll control both at the same time.
Yep.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, there you go. Nerd talk. We should just call this nerd talk.
Nerd talk. Sure. D
So yeah, so that's that. So maybe actually, maybe we should do a video of the board, making the board. Maybe we should bring it here.
Sure.
And we set up cameras and stuff.
Do an afternoon.
And do all the cursing here, not in front of my kids.
Yeah, in the soundproof room.
In the soundproof room. And have a microphone set up outside. Yeah. And then here it cuts to the beep, beep, beep. Lots of beeps, yeah. Cool. Well, that's that.
Yeah.
What stuff do you have coming up next few demos?
I think we might be doing some more ones for the shop.
Oh, yeah, for a little bit of music.
As far as our stuff goes, we might be doing the JHS stuff. We can do the vibrato shootout between the new TC one and the Boss
Warcraft. Yeah, we can do the metal thing.
Oh, that.
Considering we're getting so much lovely positive feedback from the metal pedals, so we thought we'll do another one. We could do the Supernatural.
Yeah,
the reverb.
Cool.
What else do we have?
So we're doing the retro rack Roland.
What is it?
GP8 or G something.
Yeah, something like that. I've got an old Roland rack unit thingy. I want to do the Line 6 four button pedal series thing.
That'd be cool.
Because we've got all of them except for the red one, the amp modeler one.
What was the red one?
There was a red one too.
Ah.
The amp modeler. AM4, is it possibly? Amp model 4? Because we've got the
red one.
Sorry?
I didn't realize
there was a red one. Yeah, there was a red one too. It's the less common one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was an amp modeler. So there's the DM4 distortion. No, hang on. Is it DM4?
It's a delay
modeler. No, DM4 is a drive modeler.
I've got the gold one.
The gold one. Then there's a DL4, which is a delay modeler.
Yep.
Then there's a MM4 modulation modeler and an FM4
filter.
And then we also have the FM Pro rack.
Yeah, the filter rack. The
filter rack unit.
Pro thing.
Which we should do a shootout with as well. So yeah. I think we should do, and actually we should also do, which I think is a highly underrated pedal.
Yes,
the M5.
Hmm.
Line 6 M5. So we might do.
I still think you should put the Zoom 505 on your big board.
The 505 on the big board? Yeah, maybe.
It'd be great.
Would it? Would it really? No, there's a few. So maybe we'll do that. Maybe
sure. In
the next 2 weeks, because my next gig with the band is 2 weeks from today.
Cool.
It's all acoustic crap in between then.
Mm-hmm.
But between then and now, I mean now and then,
yes.
Maybe if we get a chance, maybe we should do that.
Build a board.
Build a board and do like fast forward stuff. I like fast forward stuff.
What's it called? Time-lapse.
Time-lapse. Yes. Would be nice if you could do it in real life.
Time-lapse.
Time-lapse in real life.
Yeah,
this is boring.
Yeah. like driving to places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when you have kids, that's the only place, the only time you have to escape the children. No, that's not right.
Except when they're in the cage.
Yeah, it's the cage. Well, that's...
In the hole.
People frown upon that sort of stuff for some reason.
Do they? Right away.
Yeah. Society with the rules and regulations. all right, on that note... make sure to subscribe to our podcast, please, if you can. Also go and check out our YouTube channel. There'll be links below. It'd be awesome if you could just, I don't know if, I'm not quite sure how to check how all this stuff goes on iTunes.
Mm.
I know we've had, I don't think anyone has left a comment or done anything on Podbean.
Okay.
Leave us a message, say hello, yeah. So we know you're listening. Tell us where you're listening from. Tell us what you want us to talk about. You know, if there's any topics you want to know anything about.
Questions.
Questions about, anything. How strong our glasses are. How strong we are. What conditioner Alex uses to have his hair so nice and shiny. All that sort of stuff.
The big things in life.
You know. The important things in life. Leave us a comment, ask some questions, leave us a message on Facebook, Instagram. I'll put all the links and all that sort of stuff. Well, Instagram is our own personal channels, but I'll leave links below. Cool. So thanks, Alex.
Thanks for hanging out with our lunchtime.
Yes.
Lunchtime podcast.
We've chewed and digested.
Yeah.
Now it's time for it to come out. Oh. that don't. See you guys next time.
See ya.
Bye.